Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Follow-up Friday, part two, online learning. In that same call-in last week that piqued our curiosity about the smart grid, John at Waterside Plaza, who says he teaches college, called up to talk about a big change in the world of higher education.
Online learning, which was like, you know, like a ripoff for commercial education, suddenly is happening big time with institutions like Harvard and MIT throwing themselves into it in a huge way. So there's suddenly, we haven't seen it yet, but in the next couple of years, there could be major changes in college.
John from Waterside Plaza calling in. Now, Jeff Young, Senior Editor of Technology at the Chronicle of Higher Education, to tell us more about this trend. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
So when we hear about online learning, like the caller said, it's usually in the context of for-profit colleges like University of Phoenix or DeVry. Why are pedigreed universities like Harvard and MIT providing free courses?
Well, it's been a really interesting story this year. There was a course that happened early in the year by Sebastian Thrun, who's the same guy who's a Stanford professor, the same guy who developed the self-driving car for Google. And he opened up his course to the world, and I think they probably thought they'd get some takers, but they had over 160,000 people sign up for this artificial intelligence course. And I think it got a lot of people's attention about, wait a minute, there have been online courses for many years, and as you say, their reputations have not always been stellar. But here was a Stanford course that was trying to be taught, you know, in Stanford's way, and they felt like now with some of the new technologies that have come around and some ideas that hadn't really been tried as clearly in online learning, mm-hmm. to try to use the power of all those people, kind of peer grading is used in some of these courses or computer grading of assignments, because, you know, that's really the drawback for a lot of courses. Even online courses have long been taught by the traditional way where you have, you know, 20 students per course, and there's a lot of effort and labor going into those grading of assignments. And, of course, if you can somehow computerize that or use the wisdom of the crowds to grade, then there's this sense of, wait, maybe online learning could be a very different thing.
And there's a word for this now, our vocabulary word for the day, is MOOC, M-O-O-C, which stands for Massive Online Open Course. Massive Online Open Course. So it sounds like, I don't know, World of Warcraft meets Physics 101.
That's exactly the origin of this. And yeah, so if you can have all these, this what we've seen in video games happen in a college setting, what could that mean? And a lot of you've seen a surprising, I think, amount of, as you say, pedigreed universities jump in.
So you don't pay, but you also don't get credit?
In most cases, there are a couple experiments with also offering a credit version, although the credit version usually comes with the full price tag. So for free, you don't get a official university credit. But there is a move to take a little money in, a very low fee is the plan, to have a certificate, which wouldn't be official credit, but it would give you proof that you passed the course. Yeah. And so it's a strange, and some of these might just be kind of $100 type of range. I think they haven't set the exact price yet, but that kind of, you know, that's a very different price tag than the price of Harvard or MIT.
Sure. But is that
to say you did it?
Is that the business model for a Harvard or an MIT or whoever to get a lot of online course takers paying a little bit apiece and they're going to make money out of it?
There's a lot of questions about the business model, and I've been asking them too. The Coursera and some of these other companies that are aggregating and working with colleges to help provide these, that's their business model. They get a large cut of this. It's almost like when you buy a book on Amazon, you know, Amazon gets a cut on every book. And so I think the business model for the providers that are working with colleges is that certificate kind of taking the small mm-hmm. fee from a lot of people. But it's a different question for the universities. They only get a small fraction of that, and I'm told again and again by the folks I talk to at universities that it's not about the money for them, and you can believe it. I mean, that would be small amounts of money for their purposes, but they say they're doing it to, you know, if learning is going in a different direction, they need to get a little experience with it too, and so there's a sense that, I don't know, you might call it even fear a little bit by some universities of, wait, if something's going to totally uproot the way education is done. We need to get into trying it at least. Although, you know, it is a little difficult to say, you know, what they're made. They also say that they may use some of these techniques even at their own traditional universities if they do find better ways to offer education.
And are the participants basically adult ed students, retirees, or other adults who might just take some of these courses for their own enrichment? Or could, in the sort of Anya Kamenetz DIY university model, students start using some of these courses to do an end run around the ridiculous $50,000 tuitions?
I think that's the big thing people are watching. And so there was a Coursera, which is, like I said, one of these companies that helps offer these MOOCs, held a cookout this year in the summer for all their students. They just wanted to meet some of these people that were not paying anything, and who are these people? And so I went as a reporter just to cover it to see myself what it is. And it was all over the map. It was some, you know, people just out of college. It was some people that were still in college and thought that these courses were better than the ones they were getting at the college they were paying for. It was people in their 50s that were trying to switch careers. It was people that were just taking it totally for fun and had no interest even in a certificate. It was really all over the map with large numbers like this.
Well, talking about the MOOC movement, Jeff Young, Senior Editor of Technology at the Chronicle of Higher Education. Very, very interesting. And obviously, as technology increases, as well as people try to rise up and do something about the cost of college, and as, you know, people are just curious to learn stuff, I think we're going to hear more and more about the development of this over time. So we'll just call you Mookie.
Oh, boy. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.